During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable, and I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Isn't this a sports show?
Rudy, can you be the reporter, as you're uniquely qualified to be?
Sure.
Can you be the reporter asking me about the events that were happening at late night as Snoop Dogg was saying curse words, saying naughty words, mm-hmm. and having a money gun and stripper poles?
Almost entirely.
Mr. Jeff Long, sir, how could you allow these atrocious acts to happen?
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Atrocious acts. What atrocious acts are you referring to?
The children were scarred, sir.
In what regard? In what way? Excuse you. What's your name? What's your name?
My name is Joshua Briscoe with an E.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
I want your boss's business card. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm Jeff Bleepin' Long. I'm the athletic director at the University of Kansas. You will not question my judgment. You will not. You will do no such thing. You know where you're going to have to go? Miles away from you. You're going to have miles to go on ESPN Plus. I'm Jeff Long.
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We have kind of a funny conundrum. A conundrum? On tonight's show. The Royals played their game earlier today. It's over. It's in the books. We've got a full 9 innings to discuss if we'd like to. Also means we could go back and talk about, I don't know, let's say the whole last series, just to kind of come up with a nice little a section of the season to put a bow on. Obviously, whenever we're on, you know, while the Royals are playing, we can't do play-by-play. So today was going to be the day. Like, you know what? We'll do Chiefs, 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 draft, 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 draft throughout the course of the week. And then on Thursday, we'll have ourselves a chance to talk about the Kansas City Royals a little bit. Does anyone within the sound of my voice right now want us to do that?
Has something happened?
I don't know if anybody, Royals fans or otherwise right now, actually wants to hear us spend any amount of time talking about your hometown baseball team.
They got a winning record.
They do. And they will for at least two more games.
Things have been great.
Well, you know, Rudy, I understand that you've had a similar problem as to me, which is it's hard to watch the games really closely when you're doing a radio show.
My back is to the TV.
Yeah, that's true. Your back is to the TV. I can see it, but of course it's on mute. And, kind of trying to keep up while we're doing a show about something else. It's a balancing act. So I understand if you maybe had sort of missed the long string of L's this team has taken.
You mean line drives?
Nope. No, I sure don't. It's the joke, excuse me, honest observation that Rudy made earlier.
Like two L's, but kind of like at an angle, and one of them's backwards, and you kind of push them together?
So it's W? No, I don't mean that either.
Ah.
It's good perspective to note that the Royals are a little over 500 right now. Again, they will be for at least two more games, and hopefully they'll be over 500 for the rest of the season. You know, I'm holding out hope. Why not? It's good perspective because the first month of the season, they were way out ahead of where we expected them to be. And if you would have asked anybody at the beginning of this season, hey, what is a successful Royals season? What do you expect them to be? If you would have offered me a simple 500 record over the course of the 2021 season, if you would have told me the Royals are going to be 81-81 when it was all said and done, I would have, boom, deal, Howie. I would have taken that deal absolutely as soon as it was offered to me. But whenever you start off hot and then you start sliding back to 500, it feels bad. Whenever you start out cold and start sliding your way up to 500, it feels maybe a little better even than it should have. So you know what? We're on an upward trajectory. But this is the way that all sports work, right? Where the most recent thing, the most memorable thing, is both the thing that sticks in your head and usually it's the best representation of what you really are. Baseball's unique, though, because you have this tremendously large sample size over the course of a season. You get 162 games. You essentially double the next bulkiest sport in the major American sports. The NBA season feels long sometimes. Sometimes it feels like it, outside of pandemic times, the NBA season can drag. If the NBA season was literally half as many games as it is right now, I personally would not complain. I know there are a million logistical issues that will never happen. But if the NBA season got cut in half, I would probably watch more total basketball. Seems counterintuitive, but every game means twice as much. If there were 162 NBA games every year, I would be tuning into the season about now, I think, because there would be a whole lot of basketball still to come. Baseball's weird in that regard. So I don't think, especially whenever so much, hinges on a starting pitcher who goes every 4 or 5 days, I don't think that you should see these last five games for the Royals, which they've lost, if you haven't been paying attention. I didn't say that. You didn't even say that.
Wow.
Rudy just yelled, what? But he yelled it exclusively to me.
In the talk back.
Not into the actual on-air microphone.
Take two.
Just into my. You want to run it back really quick?
Yeah, that'd be great.
The Royals, if you haven't been paying attention, have lost five in a row.
What?
Nailed it.
First try.
It was a four-game sweep at the hands of Cleveland that wrapped up today, wasting a really nice outing by Danny Duffy. His final line isn't quite as kind as his actual outing was. He ended up with three earned runs. One of those came in the second inning, and one of those came in the fifth, and then another earned in the sixth. But altogether, it's an outing you'll take 100 times out of 100 from Danny Duffy. He went out there and put up 107 pitches and over six strikeouts, one walk. Gave up a handful of hits, but just watching that game as it unfolded, it's an outing that you'll absolutely take. The offense today did something remarkable. Genuinely remarkable. I had been tracking this over the course of the game, had seen it on Twitter, but it's actually kind of, it's almost, it's one of those things that's almost more jarring in box score form. If you have ESPN's box score up, I imagine this is the case for most of them, I just am sort of at this point subconsciously trained to go to ESPN.com. But under the batting section, they'll list the doubles, who hit it, what inning, what pitcher, or how many, what pitcher, all that stuff, how many they've got over the season. Triples, how many, what pitcher. Home runs, how many, what was the situation. RBI, two out RBI, double plays, runs left on scoring position, left on base, fielding errors, all that stuff. I just read all of the ones that were on Cleveland's side of the box score, because the Royals' side of the box score goes like this. Grounded into double play, team runners in scoring position, team left on base, double plays. Because the Royals today, not only did they obviously not score a run, therefore no RBI, didn't have an extra base hit. Did not have an extra base hit today against Tristan McKenzie and his still 4.94 ERA. I'm not willing to say that like this offense is trash and it's all gone to hell, because we've seen Benintendi and Dozier both sort of rejuvenate their seasons at the same time, and that's a wonderful thing. You would love to have a healthy Alberto Mondesi back in the lineup and you can retool around him. That would be great. Today, Ryan O'Hearn was DHing. He had one walk and three strikeouts. One of them was left with him shooting nearly visible visual daggers down the third base line. But it was basically everything except for Danny Duffy for the most part, who, again, wasn't perfect, had runners on base, but got out of the jams. Pretty much everybody except for Danny Duffy was hard to watch today. It was pretty bad baseball. Even seeing Chris Bubich come out of the bullpen, which, can I be honest, apparently he did that for the first time on Sunday. That one ended up going straight over my head somehow.
Apparently, I forgot he was called up as well.
I didn't. Thank you, Rudy, because Rudy's a baseball nerd.
Yeah, but we have an excuse. We're working.
This was
the
on
show.
Sunday, though. Yeah, apparently, he pitched on Sunday.
Sunday fun day. Okay, we're out. Where it's the one day of the week that we sometimes get to have fun. Okay.
I just totally missed that he was.
I forgot.
I know the bullpen was depleted. I know it was in bad shape. I know that was part of the reason that we you see Junis get moved. I know there's been a lot
of
moving parts.
Not going well.
Not going well either.
Not great.
But that one just fully. I saw a tweet before they came back from break during the TV broadcast today, and someone said Chris Bubich is coming out, and I went, "What? Why?"
They haven't called up Bobby Witt yet, right?
They have not.
We haven't missed that?
They have not, no. Although he did have a not-so-great, I think, day recently.
Double A. He doesn't care. He's not even really trying. It doesn't matter until you get to the big leagues, okay? He's just ready to hit dingers and Kauffman.
Do you know how buck wild it is that today Danny Duffy gave up three earned runs over the course of 5 2/3, and he has now a total of a 1.26 ERA, and that's not even like the lead of today's show in terms of even just talking about the Royals?
I think heading into the game, his ERA was like a 0.4.
Yeah.
He tripled it.
Yeah.
Bum.
And it's still
incredible,
a stunning number.
He's been like his. There was like a little bit of okay, like, you know, not that we see Duffy even do it for a start or two at that level that often, but it was kind of like okay. But it's just every start he just keeps building.
He's
and
been
building
great.
And building on it.
He threw 107 pitches today, and I know that like, and listen, we'll talk to David Leske of the Inside the Crown Substack newsletter here in about a little under 2 hours. And this will be one of the questions that I ask him is about Duffy, obviously. But like the issue with Duffy wasn't really his starts, like the beginning of the season. It's, you know, you see him sort of fade over the course of the year and everything. But if you can confidently tell me the last time that he looked this good over the first this first leg of the season over a team's first 30 games, I'd love to hear about it, because he looks excellent right now. And it's been totally overshadowed by the fact that his lineup today, nobody hit an extra base hit.
I don't think he has looked this good to begin the year, to start a year off, because I remember Lesky pointing out essentially this is the best he's pitched since, I believe it would have been 2016 when he started it. Like, he went to the bullpen. I might have the year wrong. Basically, he started off the year in the bullpen, moved back to the rotation, and then was lights out to finish the year.
Yeah.
And that's really the best year that he's had as a starting pitcher. But, you know, that to start a year off, you know, we have not seen this from Danny Duffy.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. It's not just maybe the best, one of the best stretches of his pitching career.
Yep.
It probably is the best start to a season he's ever had. And it's hard to find the juice to talk about right now, because they just lost 5 in a row. They just got swept by Cleveland.
The offense is wildly inconsistent. Like, they have nights where they're great and everybody hits, and it is a talented lineup. But then there are nights where they just, days like today where they just don't do anything. And the bullpen, you know, Kyle Zimmer getting hurt certainly throws like a little bit of a wrench in there, right? But like, the bullpen to start off the year was great, and now this series they've been a disaster. Like, the bullpen's been the biggest issue. Like, the offense has not been great during this series. The bullpen has lost them multiple games in this series, and untimely hitting. They Royals have had a decent amount of runners in scoring position and just have failed to get more. 4 runs against Shane Bieber is good. They probably realistically should have 6 or 7.
Yeah.
If you have 6 or 7, you win the game.
Yeah, I think you're totally right. Here's one other thing. I heard this on the broadcast today, too. I think it was towards the end as they're sort of wrapping it up, saying the Royals had now just suffered the 4-game sweep against Cleveland, one of the hottest teams in baseball. Do you know why Cleveland's one of the hottest teams in baseball?
Because they just swept the Royals.
What are they doing? Do you know what they were coming into this series? They were 13-13.
I was going to say they were like 4 games back of the Royals, maybe?
They were 500. They were a 500 baseball team. And yes, they're hot now, because they just won 4 in a row. So now they're 17-13. This is not a logic puzzle. They beat the White Sox. They won 2 out of 3 against the White Sox after winning 2 out of 3 against the Twins, and God bless them. Before that, they went 1-3 against the Yankees.
The Twins have not been good this year, and the White Sox, as we're hearing, got all kinds of problems.
Yeah, and who could have seen that coming?
And the least of which is R.I.P. Aloy.
Still, forever with us in our hearts.
Never gone, but not forgotten.
Now forgotten. I mean, like, the thing that's really gonna rustle my jimmies in August? It's gonna be the fact that suddenly the AL Central is pretty well in play. Not really suddenly. I mean, it feels like it right now. But the Tigers stink. Minnesota's got all their issues. The White Sox have all these issues, and Cleveland is Cleveland. The Royals should actually be just in it at this point.
Did it again.
You keep talking straight to me, Rudy. You got to talk into the, microphone with that button on.
I'm really tired. It's been a long day.
You got your first shot yesterday.
It's been a long day, man.
And they're not out of it right now. This is not me saying, this is not the last time we'll talk about the Royals in 2021. I'm not throwing dirt on them right now. Lord willing, we'll be able to talk about them well through the summer, because
R.I.P. Aloy.
We got to get to training camp somehow. But it doesn't feel, I just want them to feel like mid-season, you can say, well, you know, if they sweep Cleveland this time, then all of a sudden they're only 1 game back of them. Obviously cleaning up a lot in one series. And you know what? Chicago figured out some of their stuff, but they're within striking distance too. Because the Royals are hanging around 500 or so, and we're at the midway point of the season, so of course you're within striking distance. You're 500 halfway through. I think that's all that I want right now, which is probably the same thing that I would have said before this Cleveland series. And it is absolutely good to note that if they would have split the series with the Tigers and then split the series with Cleveland, again, Cleveland is better than Detroit, so take that for what you will. But if they would have just split those two series, we'd be talking very differently here today. And whenever we're looking back on this team and talking about this team in August, we are not going to remember that they swept the Tigers and then a couple series later got swept by Cleveland in a four-game series. It's just, they're just going to be 500 against those two teams in those two stretches. But right now, in the moment, whenever we're in an environment where you are watching these games every time and it's impacting you on some level because it's the team that you're rooting for and you're watching them lose five games in a row. And for us, we're coming to a microphone that opens up every day at a given time. We're going to talk about the thing the baseball team just did. As we're here in this moment, it's not fun. Because they don't look very good right now. They're better than this. They're not as good as what we saw last month. And there it is.
It's important to point out, because we had yours, 5747, new Twitch commenter looks like, has pointed out, you know, hey, based off projections the beginning of the year, you know, the most optimistic projections were 500. The thing is, and we talked about this, you know, essentially at the start of the segment, they set the bar high at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Like how you get, like, the end result is obviously it's the end result, but like how you got there does determine how you feel about it.
Yeah.
Like, right? Like
absolutely.
Like, again, like, if you had told me, you said this exact same thing. If you had told me prior to the season that the Royals would be where they're at right now, I'd be like, oh, great. Like, they've gotten off to a good start. And they have. But the last week of baseball for them has been really, really bad. And
Yep. This
is a team that is trying to win. And also, it's not even just that. It's also now a division that clearly is in play. Like, even with the start of the Royals season, I think there was maybe some long-term, well, the White Sox are super talented. You know, Leske certainly, he's talked about this on a show, about the belief that the Twins will get things going because they're a talented team. And they were good last year. And the Indians seem to always have pretty good pitching. This division is clearly in play, and while, you know, games that you don't necessarily lose the division in May, you could be looking back at this at the end of the year, and Essentially a sweep to the Indians could be the reason why you didn't win the division.
Yeah,
100%. Could be the reason why you're not in the playoffs. And for a team that, like, we've seen a title recently, but we've also seen how hard it is to make the playoffs in baseball.
Yeah.
A little bit different now, more teams, but, like, that Royals dynasty was two seasons.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is hard in baseball to be in the playoffs year in and year out. And while this is certainly not the end of a run, this seems to be the beginning of it all with plenty of young players coming up. And ideally, the offense will get better and more consistent with Alberto Mondesi getting back with, you know,
whenever that happens.
The promotion of Bobby Witt Jr. eventually. That will hopefully make this lineup a little bit more, you know, just a little longer, a little bit more dynamic, just a little bit more consistent. Kyle Zimmer gets, you know what I mean? There are some things to be hopeful for still if you're the Royals about them maybe getting better. There's still young prospects, Daniel Lynch, Jackson Kowar, but these games against divisional opponents do matter in May.
Yeah, because they, for all the reasons you laid out, and also just like, look, I remember the 2 years that they were I think total ended up being one game under 500. I think they were exactly 500 and then 80 and 82.
Yeah, 16 and 17
in those
years.
I was telling you at the All-Star break, this team's not good enough. Get something in return for these guys who are otherwise going to end up leaving in free agency. Here's the difference for this year. Like you said, Rudy, and you kind of, I guess, have already kind of given me the difference. This is supposed to be the start. They should not be looking at the trade deadline going, okay, we're gonna send either assets away or we're gonna send assets to try to bring back more pro ready prospects. They probably shouldn't be doing much of anything around the deadline this year. But if you are within spitting distance of the playoffs, and even if you can have a bunch of young pitchers playing meaningful baseball games on the other side of the All-Star break, looking to actually be in competition for a playoff spot, that's only good for everybody. There's no harm there. The only way there's harm there is if you overextend yourself trying to make that make sense, which obviously is in no way any sort of guarantee. Because please don't go try to trade for someone to replace Andrew Benintendi if he's slumping again halfway through the season. But take what you have and see and try to get something out of it. And if the thing that costs you that chance is getting swept by Cleveland at the beginning of May, that's super disappointing. And there are ramifications to a stretch like this.
Yeah, I would hope the Royals also view this thing. I am afraid that they're going to be close in and they're going to move prospects like a pretty good haul. Because they winning is big for Dave Moore. The only trades they really should be looking to make are trades almost kind of like acquiring guys like Andrew Benintendi, where it's like, okay, we're getting young major league players who have multiple years of control, right?
So right.
Like, you're not really selling the future because you're adding a guy who helps you now and the future.
Right.
Going for rental players would, and I hope Dayton Moore will at least look at it that way. Like, if we can add talented players to the big league roster now who sure. can be here long term, think Jorge Soler, think Andrew Benintendi, guys who they've traded for who have, you know, big league talent.
Soler is also going to be interesting
because yes.
that would actually be the one guy right now that
you
kind of feel like
probably,
flux a
yeah.
little bit.
So
yeah.
if that's the decision, if you get those guys, the right move is probably going to be, okay, Santana's hitting the ball well. Let's probably move him and get prospects. He's not part of the long-term plan. Jorge Soler, I don't think is part of the long-term plan. I'm fine with it if he
I don't
was,
think they're going to sell either, though.
I don't think they will. I'm just
which
saying.
Which is fine. Like,
that's what they probably should.
Probably.
Do.
Yeah, they probably should,
unless
and they probably
you get
won't.
The deadline, and all of a sudden you find yourself five games in the division lead because all of a sudden Mondesi and Witt got up, and Witt Jr. got up, and you just took off, right? Like,
sure.
if something like that happens, if it's close, you sell the players who you don't think are going to be on the team next year, and you just keep rolling.
But it would be wonderful to end up at a spot where that's not. I don't want to be having that conversation on May 6th.
Yes.
Which is, by the way, the day today, Reed. I know you've been off for
yeah.
about a week,
yeah.
but today is May
6th. I will say, I think there is, and again, part of this, The Royals' start to the season changes all of this, right? And that absolutely matters. I think this is kind of a situation where it's almost like going back to 16 when you said like this is a 500 team. I just think this is a 500 team.
Yeah.
And I think the right move, and we're months away from this even being a thing where the Royals should not be thinking about trading or anything right now. We're talking 2 months in the future,
mm-hmm.
where I think the Royals are going to be 2 months from now. If I was Dayton Moore, I would be looking to offload guys I don't think are part of the future, which is probably might just be Santana, Jorge Soler, maybe Jesse Hahn if he gets healthy and looks great, but probably not even him because he's still pretty cheap. Like, it's a pretty cost-controlled player. But, like, I think that's probably what I think that's how the season probably is/should play out. I think it's a 500 yeah. team. I think you're probably looking to move on from guys you don't think are going to be here long term. I also think this should be the last year that's ever even like on the table because
yeah.
they clearly shown. I don't know if this is 2012, like going back. I don't know if this is 2012 or 2013, but essentially the 14-15 run is here. Like this is. This should be the end of it all.
Right.
This
should be the last year of getting up to speed.
Yes.
And I'm also, again, I'm not mad about the idea of this being the last year that gets up to speed. I was not buying playoff tickets.
But then they had their
2 weeks ago. I mean, that's again.
You went and bought all the playoff tickets.
No, I really didn't. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is like I wasn't trying to buy playoff tickets a week ago. I don't think that this is going to be a team that ends up regularly sweeping series in a positive way. I think it's going to be a team that is inconsistent because this is now becoming a go-to in my quiver here. But in all sports, and in no place is it clearer than baseball, in all sports, you are what you are over a representative sample size. It's the video of Sam Darnold that got tweeted out. You know, if Patrick Mahomes made these throws, the media would be losing their mind. They would be pooping there would be poop in their pants. They would be defecating because they were so excited about these throws Patrick Mahomes is making. But look at Sam Darnold making them.
Just watch out, Sam Darnold 2021/2.
The issue.
I forgot what year it was.
If there are Nathan Peterman highlights. Every single quarterback who is good enough to play NFL football has a great highlight reel somewhere. Tim Tebow was an incredible college player, one of the greatest of all time. And he may end up being one of the greatest tight ends of all time. We'll find out. But that dude had no business standing behind center at the NFL level. Brody Croyle's got good college highlights. He's probably got some pretty good pro highlights. He got a decent sample size. I could definitely find you a through. I could find you a few, though. I absolutely find you a few.
Every time he threw a football, he got hurt.
Everybody who plays these sports on a professional level has highlights, and everyone who plays sports has lowlights. I could find you a very small handful of Patrick Mahomes misses or interceptions or missed reads or him drifting too far back in the pocket, him taking a sack that he shouldn't have taken. That exists. The issue isn't, do you have an incredible highlight? Do you have a lowlight? The question is, what does everything... If these are all data points out on a spectrum, where's your biggest cluster of dots? This is one of the reasons that I think analytics also, by the way, are like actually really useful in all sorts of circumstances. Because in some ways, it'll make you rethink things a little bit better. It'll help you to visualize what some of these, what successes and failures look like. If you think a success is one dot all the way on the right side, and you think failure is one dot all the way on the left side, you've made your decision with far too little information. We were making decisions on the Royals. I don't know if we really were. We definitely won't. We definitely weren't, but what you got through a month was you got a small, random sample size from the Royals where you got some great moments, you got some great comebacks, you got clutch, and clutch is very hard to quantify. Clutch and luck are probably closer than you would think. You got this incredible, like, shot out of a cannon start, and now that the thing shot out of a cannon just splashed up against a brick wall. Over 162, this team's probably going to end up being a little under 500. And if you want to say, you know what, I'm actually buying the first month enough to say, I think they're going to be actually 500. I think they're a little over 500. Then that's perfectly fine. But they're not the team they were in April, and they're also not the team they've been in May.
Which even that team in April, like, they were winning games, but there was a lot of signs that showed that, hey, they might be getting a bit lucky. And some of it seems to be like a genuine talent, right? Like some of the that come from behind. It's a combination of everything, right? There's a little bit of luck that happens. It's a little bit of talent. It's, I think, a little bit of just like, hey, just the ability to stick with it, which is a big deal in baseball because it's such a hard sport in general. But like, there were a lot of signs in April that kind of showed that, hey, this might start to turn a little bit sideways. Not saying they're all of a sudden going to become one of the five worst teams in baseball, but they might not be one of the five best teams in baseball. Like, at one time, they had the best record.
Right.
Because, like, yeah, you would look at runs, and they're scoring a lot of runs. But, like, all those runs came in, like, two games. Through the first, like, 10 games of the year, I'm probably an over-exaggeration, I would say, but it seemed like 75% of the runs came in those first two games of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were signs in April that this was coming, that this sort of stretch of play was coming, but... Again, you know, the Royals set the bar high, and you know, hey, that's what, as an organization, I'm sure that's what they want. They want the bar set high because it means they're playing well, and that does change how you feel about the team. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't be excited for the rest of the year. Enjoy it. Royals are going to be playing meaningful baseball for a while, and that's something we have not had for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy this while you can. I think they're going to be in it for the majority of the year because I'm just not totally sold about this division. Maybe the White Sox's talent will just eventually overcome
their manager.
Managing and injuries, RIP Aloy.
Yeah.
But also Luis Robert seems to be rough there. Yeah. I don't know if they've said RIP to him yet or if he's still in critical condition.
I was prepared to tweet out the prayer hands for him and everything.
I still feel like their talent probably will just eventually kind of will them up because talent, I think, generally prevails. But maybe not this year, right? Like, maybe the Royals will be in it. It's going to be fun, but this team is not... This is not a world-beating team, but you should be excited about the future. Yeah, because things seem to be pretty good. Like, the core seems to be solid. Still some things to figure out, pitching, you know, is obviously, like, here's the thing.
Now there's some things to figure out, like the pitching and the hitting and some of the choices that are made.
We obviously have there's a young core of pitchers. We obviously don't know how they're
going to
pan out.
Some of the concession food still TBD. Are they going to end up with a new stadium at some point? But other than that.
See, John Sherman just sitting on the concrete talking. He was just like sitting in the aisle on the concrete talking to some fan.
I did not see that.
I saw some post about, now what? Name any other owner in baseball who would do this. Just like, come on.
It's literally the Sam Darnold thing.
Yeah.
It's literally the Sam Darnold. What are we talking about? What? Why? Why is that? People got to pick better things to get worked up on Twitter about. There's your real take for now. Also, two comments. Oh, one from yours 5747 mentioning that there's talk of them having Pujols. I just wanted to mention that Albert Pujols got waived today, got DFA'd today. That's bonkers. There's a stat about him that I'll bring you next segment. We gotta take a break. JT mentions the fielding. That one's actually a real one. So it's the hitting and the pitching and the fielding
the
currently.
The fielding seems the easiest to fix if Mondesi can ever stay healthy, which might make it the hardest to fix.
I like that you got there eventually.
Because, like, it's easy. If Mondesi's there, they're better. The whole infield defense is significantly better. And also the outfield defense is better because now Witt's in the outfield. But also, he's hurt.
I just like that you said that out loud, and then you heard it back in your headphones, and then you realized what you were saying.
I knew what I was saying the whole time. It's easy yet hard.
But the most important thing is from Human Torch 101 on Twitch saying, if you want to yell about Angel Hernandez, it might make us all feel better. We'll do that whenever we come back.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
My favorite memory of the last of this last run of Royals players is every time this year that I said they're going to be a 500 team, and then everyone yelled at me.
Of course you make it about you.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Here's the crazy Albert Pujols stat that I was promising you from Ryan M. Spader on Twitter. Albert Pujols has gotten a hit off of 10.21% of all players to ever throw a pitch in an MLB game.
It's wild.
That seems impossible. He tweeted, there have been, I'm going to round up just a little bit, 20,000 players in MLB history. It's actually 19,979 pitchers in MLB history, of which 10,501 have thrown even just one pitch. Those players, 20,000 players, 10,501 have thrown even just one pitch. Albert Pujols has a hit off of 1,072 of them, which includes position players who threw a pitch. If you would have told me 10% of active pitchers, I would have said that's probably about right.
That's what I thought the stat was. Like, the first time I saw it,
pitchers
I thought it was
in
active
history.
Pitchers or active players who had thrown a pitch. And then I reread it, and I was like, oh, no.
Of all pitchers.
All pitchers.
It's unbelievable.
Whoa.
I hope he ends up somewhere.
Did you see the other set? So he had an OPS over 900 every year with the Cardinals, and then did it once with the Angels. Like, it was.
He was so good in St. Louis.
That drop from St. Louis to Los Angeles, there were some solid years in there, right? Like, there were years where he was a good, solid baseball player, but whew. It was just. That. I mean, hey, great sign, great deal for Pujols.
He has nearly 6,000 total bases.
That's a lot.
He's also got 667 home runs, so it would be cool to see him get to 700. I don't know how long that would take or who he would do it with.
Might take a while.
If he would have gotten one less, he would have been just a lot of fun to just see, like, Larry Johnson tweet about, you know? But it would have been...
If he can at least get two more.
Well, let me tell you about this then, Rudy. He has 669 doubles.
If he could, he just needs to get back in the big leagues, hit two home runs, no doubles. If you have a chance for a double, you have to stop at first. You don't go for three, actually, because you get thrown out, you get counted with
a double.
Yeah, you just stop at first. Just hit two home runs, you'll walk off. That's never heard of again.
Having almost as many home runs as doubles seems impossible.
Yeah.
That's a wild, wild stat. Also, do you want to guess in his 21-year career how many triples he's hit?
Three.
He hit four in his first season.
69.
This might actually make the stat better.
154.
In his first season as a pro.
902.
You got to just stop saying nonsense. In 2001, at age 21, he had four triples. In 2002, he had two. His career, he has 16. Since 2010, when he had one, since then, he has had one triple. He has had Albert Pujols had one.
Slow.
He had one triple from 2011 through 2021. In a decade, he had one triple, and it was, let's see, when was this? When was his last triple? 2014.
There's also the whole deal.
He had one triple with the Angels.
Ooh.
That's a better way of putting it.
There's also a thing, I think it was back in 2003 against the Cubs when he was with the Cardinals, where he was in the outfield, but he could not throw a baseball. And so they were just kind of hiding him in the outfield. And so anytime a ball was hit to the outfield, he would like catch it and the center fielder would have to run over and he would just toss the ball to the center fielder because he could still hit. I believe it was probably rotator cuff. Like he could still hit. And the guy was a really good hitter. Couldn't throw a baseball though. Arm was all messed up. So he's just out there in the outfield with a center fielder, just having to bust his butt to get over there.
It's crazy. And it does kind of bum me out that, like, and again, he's 41, so this isn't stunning. But he was unbelievable. And his most recent lasting impression, as is the case for many great baseball players who signed 10-year deals at age 31... or 32, I think, is going to be as sort of a lumbering grandpa that wants to play first base every day, even though that's just not how it's going to work. Like he's hitting under 200 this year for the first time in his career.
There is a group of baseball fans that never saw Albert Pujols play with the Cardinals, right? And just like saw him dominate. And here's the deal: like one day we're going to be talking about this with like Patrick Mahomes. Now, of course, right. He'll probably still be great at like 50 because he's Patrick Mahomes. But like, there's gonna be, like it is wild to think about that, right? Like, there are Angels fans who like only know Albert Pujols as this like overpaid bum, essentially.
Counterpoint: no one under the age of 20 gives a bleep about baseball.
Great point.
So everyone at least saw a couple years of him.
Wait,
in St.
how
Louis.
Old is Bobby Witt? I think he cares a little bit. I think he's 21 actually.
Anthony Edwards didn't know who A-Rod was. Like, I'm not talking about people playing baseball. I'm saying people watching
that
baseball.
That thing is weird because there's also like an interview. So he said that, but like a week before.
He played baseball.
He was talking about A-Rod, I think. There was like a video of him from like a week before talking about A-Rod.
He was talking about having, like, he thought he could have gone pro in baseball if he would have wanted to. But
I think he's lying. I think he knew who A-Rod was.
Wow.
It'd be really hard to not know who A-Rod was.
According to Baseball Reference,
I mean,
if I'm reading
Rodgers
this right.
Aaron Rodgers is such a great quarterback.
I don't know why, but that was going to be the time that I yelled at you for just your 15th interruption in this show, and but that one was funny. So you did it.
Thank you.
Rudy plays an incredibly dangerous game, which is just... It's really the mentality of a hitter, more maybe a 3-point shooter.
Yeah,
I really think
a
it's
shooter.
A hitter though, where it's just, listen, man, if I can get on base 30% of the time, I'm a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
See if one in three of these suckers goes in, and he was having a cold streak,
mm-hmm.
and then he hit a nice double right there.
Shooters keep shooting, hitters keep swinging.
So if I'm reading Baseball Reference correctly, Albert Pujols leads baseball history in one category. Would you like to throw a dart at what that might be? I've got, you know, kind of the whole, like, back of the baseball card with a few advanced stats in there also. This is not, like, it's not OPS plus. Like, it's...
Hit by pitches? No. Because I don't think it's... My first thing was going to be walks, but Barry Bonds should have that.
I bet his... This is where the show gets weirdly obsessed with Barry Bonds and Albert Pujols for 15 minutes.
Man, I don't...
I bet Barry Bonds has a lot of these.
I don't know.
Barry Bonds has homers, walks, and intentional walks.
Yeah. I figured it was both, definitely both of the walks. Because, like, I remember one time he got people would pitch around him when there was a when bases were loaded.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, nah, yeah, we'd much rather walk in a guy than let this guy swing.
Barry Bonds was awesome, and I'm not willing to hear criticism.
Barry
about
Bonds
that take.
Is the greatest.
Barry Bonds
He's
was awesome.
He's the GOAT. He's the best. And I loved how whenever I would play MLB The Show back in the day, because of Barry Bonds' whole issue, he was not actually Barry Bonds in the game,
right?
Because they could not put his name in the game. But you knew who he was because there was just some random dude named Reggie playing right field for the Giants. Just like, I think that's Barry. Just
Reggie Jones. Here's the two stats. We have to another breaker now. So here's what Albert Pujols leads the league in. Grounded in the double place.
Oh, okay.
403, according to Baseball Reference. Here's also something funny.
Good hitters hitting a lot of double plays because they hit the ball hard.
Just in terms of, like, crazy Barry Bonds stats. So right now, Albert Pujols just got cut at age 41, right? He's got DFA'd at age 41, where, you know, his... You know what? Let's do this. Albert Pujols' career batting average is .298.
Get over .300.
In Barry Bonds' age 43 season, his last season, he was hitting .276. His OBP at age 24, or excuse me, at age 42 was .480. Albert Pujols hasn't had an OBP of .480.
480 at your peak is outstanding.
Albert Pujols, I'm sorry. Here's your stat today that's accidentally disrespectful to Albert Pujols. Barry Bonds' OBP in his final year before the Giants stopped bringing him back. And no team thought he was worth it for everything that was around him, right? Which, by the way, wasn't like a crazy like crime scandal. It was steroid butt. Barry Bonds' OBP in his age 42 season was .480. Albert Pujols never had that in a season. Ever. His highest OBP was .443. Barry Bonds was better than that his last two seasons.
He was a cheat code, man.
Literally. And the code was steroids. Unbelievable. That man was walked 2,558 times. What do we do? Like, it's just every baseball stat.
Baseball got boring when Barry Bonds got kicked out.
He walked almost in the same stretch of time. He got almost twice as many walks as Albert Pujols did. As two of the greatest hitters of our time. Barry Bonds, get a baseball.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
There are so many names that I'm loosely aware of. Wait a second, what?
With Joshua Briscoe.
I had one more good one. Hold on. I had one more good one, and then I lost. I know we need to take a break, Rudy. I know. I need to say the name. I need to say the name of another obscure veteran on the Diamondbacks. Mike Leake!
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I realized that we didn't actually talk about Angel Hernandez at all, so I do want to at least tell you this really quick. I have a plan for robo-umpires. I even have the acronym ready to go. I even have the tagline ready to go, okay? So the automated umpires are known as automated necessary gaffe evaluation litigators. The tagline is, of course, an A-N-G-E-L behind every plate.
Could have used one last night.
You're gonna have a bunch of automated angels. Who wouldn't want that?
We all want angels.
We all want that. And it occasionally, you know, it's gonna shoot a spark out of its neck, and Brady Singer's gonna come and punch it.
Put some in the outfield.
And you can put. By the way, you can punch a robot. That's fine. Hey, big thing next. Our first conversation in a long time with Craig Stout. I'll explain the context of that next.